obviously the leadership piece is kind of like at the forefront because our editors run everything, so they are the leaders. But I would really say in the past few years, we focused more so on the truth and the integrity because of what we were facing in the media climate and the 2020 election cycle and the misinformation and disinformation and the attacks, you know, of like media as the enemy. So we really focused on truth and on integrity, but each of those is a great mini lesson or activity that your students can plan this spring, maybe one a week, for example.
Those are the words of Journalism Education Association President and Whitney High School Journalism Educator, Sarah Nichols. Sarah is with us today on The Source, Quill and Scrolls podcast, to discuss JEA programs and initiatives, cross-platform work with Quill and Scroll, and upcoming opportunities for both students and advisors to get involved with JEA. I'm your host, Sylvia Club. Welcome to The Source. Thanks so much for joining us today, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So we'll launch right into it. JEA is such a large organization. How do you balance work inside the classroom while also running JEA?
Well, you know, it's a common saying, but it definitely takes a village, right? So I certainly wouldn't pretend that I'm doing it by myself. But yeah, it's a lot of juggling. People like to tease me about 3 and 4 a.m. emails they get from me because I do a lot of early morning correspondence. But it's an incredible opportunity to be part of an organization geared toward doing exactly what I do every day with my students. So I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. You know, when I was preparing for this interview, I took a look at your Twitter account and saw that your pinned tweet was this great quote that says, "Relationships before rigor, grace before grades, patience before programs, and love before lessons." And I thought that was just fantastic. Could you talk a little bit about how you integrate your classroom work into JEA and why that makes you the best person to be the president of this organization?
Well, I don't know about that, but thanks. Sure. I think that pinned tweet really resonated with me at a few points in the pandemic in particular, because we were just juggling so many, you know, uncertain times, all of the changes and all of the demands on us, and just really kind of wondering, like, what the heck? How are we supposed to do any of this? And people kind of had the wrong priorities in mind. So I just thought it was like a helpful reminder to all of us, including myself, of, you know, why we do what we do. And it's about people, right? People first. I think ultimately that's what journalism is for, is to serve the people, to make us better. And so I try to infuse that mindset in everything I do. So relationships with our students are absolutely paramount. And within the journalism education community, you know, JEA is built on relationships. We sometimes really focus on the journalism or the education, but that association piece, the A of the JEA, it's all about the connections where we can help each other, support each other, be a sounding board or springboard or a helping hand. And so it really means a lot to me that all of the facets of my life incorporate that mindset of caring about people. And then everything else kind of follows. You know, in student media, it's like people, then the process, then the product. And it's just a helpful framework, I'd say.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, you mentioned that association piece of JEA, and it's such a large organization with many moving parts. And you have a lot of initiatives to help student journalists and their advisors. What are a few that you think we should be focusing on right now in our current world state?
That's a great question. Our board of directors did a really rigorous goal setting process when we started our term last May. And we're heavily focused on three things, you know, three priorities. So first and foremost is just supporting scholastic journalism education in a pandemic, meaning helping teachers to continue to do what they do to teach journalism and help their students do excellent journalism. So, you know, that real specifically comes in the form of curriculum and resources and things like that, but just, you know, supporting our profession and helping it sustain and not just survive, but thrive. And then our next goal or focus area is really working on diversity, equity, and inclusion, which has been a long-term need area and weak spot in journalism education and in particular in JEA. So it's kind of like a multi-tiered approach. You know, we're trying to help our students navigate some of those issues in the journalism they produce and really cover and move the needle on things like the racial injustice, but also have more diversity in scholastic media programs and have more teachers of color moving into journalism education, and definitely expand and improve our membership relations and opportunities for advisors of color in our networks and draw them into positions of leadership, things like that. So we're working on a lot of different forms for that. And then lastly, just outreach, which is always certainly a priority, but reaching underserved populations and really doing more to give them the support that they need so that we're not just helping like our upper echelon, like top tier programs with really robust journalism offerings at their schools. So I would say those are our three primary areas of focus, but always we want to, you know, support student expression and move the needle on our New Voices legislation, get more laws passed for student press rights. We definitely want to keep building out our programming, like our conventions and our contests and things like that too. But definitely those top three.
Do you have any specific instances of those three that you mentioned that you're really proud of?
Oh, well, I'm really proud of all of it simply because our board of directors is made up of volunteer teacher leaders. So we're actually navigating the pandemic as teachers and advisors while we're building resources to help others do the same. And that cannot be understated. I mean, the struggle is real. I like to say at least there's like plenty of seats on the struggle bus because all my friends are here too. But yeah, I'm proud of all of it. Every person on our team has really contributed to lesson plans that could be, you know, self-paced, self-guided lessons, you know, pivoting to so many different virtual or online or hybrid formats, you know, just like school changes on a daily basis. So we're trying to help teachers get what they need. So when those new materials come out, we're getting good feedback that, you know, people are using them or people are grateful. In particular, I've been doing something this school year myself, just part of an initiative we have called Anywhere JEA. The idea obviously is that even if you're remote or you're, you know, working virtually, that these things will help you anywhere you are, and the JEA is here for that. And so I've been doing a monthly resource on the Anywhere JEA page geared toward advisors, you know, to kind of meet them where they are. And some of those I think have turned out really, really well. So that's, you know, kind of like a personal yay, yay for me. But I think that each piece that has been either developed or continued or expanded or modified has been really valuable this year. We offer the JEA Partner Project, which is an outreach program for teachers that normally happens in person, kind of like a you know, boots on the ground kind of workshop model. And it's not happening in that format this year. And I'm really, really proud of how Val Kibler, our vice president, has made it entirely virtual. So those are just a few of the things that are big accomplishments for the team.
I know some things that Colin Scroll was featuring on our different social medias and within our weekly newsletter, the Weekly Scroll, was Scholastic Journalism Week, which seemed to be a huge success and provided so many great online resources for educators and advisors to access. So shout out to you guys. And you know, along with your co-host, the National Scholastic Press Association, you've now had to cancel three on-site national high school journalism conferences. The Spring 2020 conference in Nashville was not held, while the Fall 2020 and Spring 2021 conferences have been moved online. What sort of challenges have you been facing with switching to online conferences? And really, what have you learned about hosting things like this in a virtual format?
Well, we are learning quite a bit, I will say. It's pretty funny when you run for a national, you know, leadership position in a journalism education association, and you're not only studying like the 990 and preparing for a tax audit, or going through all of these crazy things like how much for a gallon of coffee in a hotel ballroom. But now you're looking at, well, what does the CDC say about this? Because if we have an event next November, will we have to do temperature checks as they walk into that ballroom? room to attend a breakout session about caption writing and sit 6 feet apart? We don't know, right? So it's there's a lot more than just journalism and education when you're looking into what these conferences might look like. But yeah, we're certainly focused first and foremost on the safety of our members and making those decisions in line with all of the up-to-date guidance and protocols possible. But the bottom line is it changes every day and we just don't know what's possible. So we're really proud to be able to offer engaging, dynamic, relevant, timely learning experiences for teachers and students in whatever form that might take, right? So we did it entirely virtually in the fall. We have a great different model this spring. We're offering, you know, the programming this spring, the teachers can utilize it in their classroom. The teacher pays one price and then they can get all of the content. They can show the videos in class or they can assign them or they can use them any day, anytime. You know, there's like this long period of time that they're open, but then we also have the workshop model this time. So really great preparation or springboard for next year, which is that kind of training that people want. So that's a new piece in the spring that is very different that we didn't have. You know, we're using a different platform this time. It's really easy to navigate. We heard great feedback about the fall platform too, but this one, it'll be a one-stop shop for everything that we need in terms of the meetups and the different ways to engage and then those workshops and then all of the different pre-recorded breakout and instructional videos. So, you know, we're learning like, what do people want? We are a data-driven organization. So we did a huge member survey, attendee survey, non-attendee survey back in the fall. So we could kind of study like, what is it you're going to need in the spring? What did you like? What did you not like? You know, what did you take advantage of the most? So all of our decisions are based on that information, which is helpful. And then while we're building that out right now, you know, our staff and some of our volunteer leaders are really hot and heavy in that development right now, but we're also, of course, trying to predict what will be best for the fall. We are always kind of just gauging like the pulse of our membership, but most teachers don't know yet, right? Like, will they feel safe to travel? Will they be vaccinated? Will their students feel safe to travel? Will the parents feel safe to send their students? Will the school district allow it? And then, you know, how will the costs be different with, you know, smaller room capacity and different hotel rooming situations and tours and opportunities that are like part of that learning experience certainly will be modified or unavailable. So it's just a completely moving target every single day. And I'm grateful that our team and our partners at NSPA are committed to just like assessing the situation constantly and doing what's best.
And I know you mentioned the spring conference is obviously coming up and it is in this great format that teachers can utilize tools without actually having to be there in real time and they're pre-recorded. What date do educators and advisors need to register for that conference by to be able to access those materials?
So March 15 is the big hot and heavy spring deadline. It is like 100 different deadlines happen that day. It's always a big day in JEA. We have our spring awards deadlines and things like that. The Impact Award, for example, which is an award that we co-host with Quill and Scroll, co-sponsor. But yeah, the registration is March 15th, the National Student Media Contest registration and upload or submission deadline is March 15th. Materials, you know, a lot of things go active or go live March 15th. The workshop model that I mentioned, each instructor for the workshop developed a time frame. So for example, I'm teaching a workshop and my workshop isn't actually until April, even though I have to have it all developed and the website will be populated with various forms of content. My workshop doesn't release until mid-April. So it's kind of cool. There's like a 2-month window that all of this is taking place. And so it's really flexible for teachers and students to kind of see what's going to work in their school schedule, kind of tailor it around school closure for spring break, if that's a factor, or like, believe it or not, schools are still doing like testing, spring testing in a pandemic. I don't know. It seems a little bit tone deaf, but March 15th to answer your question.
Awesome. And can you give our listeners a preview of some of the key speakers that are going to be featured?
Oh, wow. Yeah. What I'd actually do is recommend that you visit the Spring Convention website. Our convention websites are different from the JEA and NSPA regular websites. So we have springjournalismconvention.org. That's like the go-to place. But yeah, we have Rob Curley, Juanita Ceballos. We have like a bunch of breakout and featured speakers listed on that spring.journalismconvention.org. That's like the go-to. So you can see more about them, read their bios, and then you can even see all of the workshop instructors and some of the pre-recorded breakout videos there too.
Awesome. So that's springjournalismconvention.org. And like Sarah said, March 15th, that's the hot date. Get it down in your calendars. We'll definitely need to remember that and be looking out for it. And, you know, looking ahead, I see the 2021 JEA Advisors Institute is set for July 5th through the 8th in New Orleans, and both yes. in person and online setting. For those interested, Quillen Scrolls Lester Ben Scholarship for Advisors offers a $500 stipend for professional development, which would be a great way to attend the JEA Advisors Institute. But can you give us a little, do you see a future for hybrid events for the national high school conferences or anything like that?
Well, another great question. Maybe not a popular answer, but one of the things we've learned is, you know, hybrid events are incredibly labor intensive. They are really double the work for not double the return. So we've learned that people really like the option of staying home and engaging in an online platform. We got rave reviews last summer, our highest registration and participation to date in the Advisors Institute last July. But it's really not sustainable to allocate all of our time and resources to develop a great in-person event, high energy, you know, pay for the venue, have all of these expenses, and then also build out something online. It's a lot. And so we want to accommodate that. Certainly this year we are accommodating that for just like all the obvious reasons that it might not be safe for people to travel. People might not feel comfortable traveling. The vaccine, you know, we kind of hear a different thing each day. As of today, oh, sure, we're all going to be vaccinated by, you know, what did they say? Now it's going to be by May or okay, by July. You know, all of those things continue to change. So we know that not everyone will be able to travel. So we are planning both options. They are not the same, but we are offering two different ways to participate. And that information is on the JEA website, jea.org. So JEA Advisors Institute is going to happen either way this year. For long term, you know, you asked, like, do I see that as, you know, a way of the future? I think we will continue to provide ways that teachers can learn remotely. We've seen how possible it is. We've seen how popular it is. So certainly JEA will continue to offer ways that teachers can get that professional development. But I know that we're really hoping a full return to in-person events, simply because the energy is so high. The camaraderie is just a big part of that. An opportunity for teachers to network and engage and celebrate and learn together without their students there. That is one of the ways that it's a signature event. And the hands-on component, you know, we run a team storytelling workshop, and that's just not possible in the virtual setting to the same degree. So, while we're pleased to be able to offer something that meets everyone's needs this summer, July 5th through 8th, hopefully moving forward in 2022, we'll be able to really throw down big on the in-person aspect of the conference.
Right. And, you know, I did mention the Lester Ben Scholarship for Advisors. It's $500 stipend. Definitely a great way to spend that on the Advisors Institute.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you, how would you describe JEA's relationship with Quillen Scroll? I know you mentioned the Impact Award, but how do our organizations work together to promote scholastic journalism?
Well, I think it's a wonderful partnership, and especially in recent years, there are so many ways that what Quillen Scroll has added kind of created companion pieces or ways to interact with things that have already been established in JEA. And I think that that's just a testament to Jeff's vision and initiative. So I can only see those things like continue to grow. But one of the things I really like is how the student leaders are always kind of like chiming in or weighing in or producing things that connect with the teacher community. You know, like we're kind of the teacher leaders, and Quill and Scroll has student leaders. So, you know, I think that's a great connection. And the award, you know, there are a lot of ways that we want to continue to get more applicants for that award. I think in general, just when a chapter has, when a school has a Quill and Scroll chapter, it just creates like a stronger connection to the significance or the impact of what students do. So, you know, we've talked before about ways to strengthen those partnerships. And I know that when we're back in person more frequently or at all, we'll be able to continue some of those conversations. But I know for me as an advisor, my students in particular really chime in on all the contest opportunities from Quill and Scroll. And they sometimes kind of conflate like the National Student Media Contest and the Pacemakers and the Quill and Scroll and the Yearbook Excellence things. Like, it's confusing to a student. But I've really seen them like throw down on Quill and Scroll contest this year. So I think that that's getting more of a spotlight in the JA community, and the kids are really kind of seeing like, oh, this is so cool to enter things. So I think in JA, we can continue to help kind of promote those opportunities and, you know, just make sure that we're increasing exposure for each other. I read the weekly newsletter, The Scroll, and I love that there's a lot of connection to JEA. So that's one piece of the partnership that I'm really grateful for too. You know, like, you guys are big in the newsletter game. You were in at the early end. You know, like, now I get like 80 newsletters a week, but I read The Scroll. I click on it. So you can check your analytics and see, but you're making a big difference. And as an advisor and as a chapter host or whatever you would call that at my school, but also as JEA president, I'm really grateful for those connections.
You heard it here first. The JEA president reads our newsletter. That means if you're not reading our newsletter, yeah, you're doing something wrong. Make sure you check out the weekly scroll. But you know, you did mention you are an advisor at Whitney High School, which is one of our highly active Quill and Scroll chapters, which is just fantastic. But kind of to round everything out together, I really wanted to ask you, how do you foster Quill and Scroll's 8 principles in your own classroom, and especially highlighting that within your Quill and Scroll chapter?
Well, one of the great things that I did, I guess it was 2 years ago, because last spring was a little bit iffy, I'm not going to lie. But 2 springs ago, I had each of the editors take on one of those, and they had to choose kind of a way that they would integrate that principle or core value with the staff. They could plan an activity, they could do a mini lesson, even just like a discussion kind of thing. And it's a good reminder to all of the listeners that this is a great time of year to do that, as you know, you're planning. Well, maybe not everyone does it in the spring. I should not assume that. But I know for us, we do our induction ceremony in the spring. And last year was online, but we had Jeff there to kind of help initiate and go through that. And the kids loved it. But I think this is a good time of year for students or rising editors to plan, like, how do they want to integrate those tenets with the staff. And it gives them kind of like, you know, you can't teach what you don't know, right? So they know all of those concepts, but they might not realize the significance and how it ties in, not just what they do in journalism, but as a Quill and Scroll member or a new inductee. So I pass it off on the kids. That's just one of the ways that I really like to have a student-centered environment. So I just want them to be the leaders planning it. That way we can have it in our new staff member workshop, you know, our boot camp or our training or whatever we do. Obviously the leadership piece is kind of like at the forefront because our editors run everything. So they are the leaders, but I would really say in the past few years, we focused more so on the truth and the integrity because of what we were facing in the media climate and the 2020 election cycle and the misinformation and disinformation and the attacks, you know, of like media as the enemy. So we really focused on truth and on integrity. But each of those is a great mini lesson or activity that your students can plan this spring, maybe one a week, for example.
Yes. And just as a reminder, our 8 principles are truth, leadership, learning, loyalty, initiative, integrity, judgment, and friendship. And we do have a few short podcasts on each of those. Sarah, do you have anything else you would like our listeners to know about JEA, scholastic journalism, or anything at all?
I think the perfect way to end is with that principle of friendship. I was a Quill and Scroll member in high school, and so was my mom, and we're both friends with people that we met as student journalists, and the friendship just can't be overlooked as such a significant piece of the connections and relationships we build in doing the important work of journalism and in being members in associations like Quill and Scroll and JEA. So I really appreciate those connections. Thanks.
That's all the time we have for today on The Source. Make sure to check out JEA.org and keep March 15th on your calendar. Sarah, thanks so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Until next time, Sylvia Club signing off.